This is Strictly Sales with Jeff Hoffman and CC Bazaar. For more information, go to Overview Labs or mjhoffman.com.
Hi there, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us on our first podcast of Strictly Sales with Jeff Hoffman. Jeff, thanks so much for being here today.
You're welcome, CC. It's great to be here.
We're so excited to have you here. You know, everyone from the prospectors to the closers want more tactics. They are asking us, whether it's through our newsletter or through Twitter, we hear you people, and we're here to give you those golden nuggets of information that are going to help you win more deals. So one of the questions, Jeff, that I'm getting all the time, whether it's in the portfolio or I'm seeing it on Twitter, is I'm getting stopped at the gatekeeper.
Right.
It doesn't matter how many calls I'm making, how many people I'm talking to. Every time I dial in and I get that gatekeeper live on the phone, I feel like I'm hitting a wall.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about how we can not just navigate those gatekeepers, but actually leverage them.
That's true. I hear it all the time as well. I see it all the time, certainly with the clients I work with and just being in sales for so long. And I think a lot of the things that we do as salespeople are intuitively wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when it comes to gatekeepers, it's a great example of that. If you think about it, I would guess that virtually everyone listening to this podcast right now deals with EAs and assistants and gatekeepers and receptionists all day. But my guess is none of the people listening to this call actually has ever had one work for them. So everyone's kind of guessing how they think they behave and how we're supposed to work with them. And we're probably wrong. I mean, most people think that, oh, what's the job of, let's say, an executive assistant to a CTO? And they think, oh, it's their job is to schedule, or their job is to keep people out, or to kind of screen callers. Well, that's true, but it's actually a very small part of what that person is chartered with doing. Most of what they do is actually keeping those important things close to them. So yeah, I think it's a great topic for us to talk about and hear. When you're listening in, CC, and you hear these phone calls, what are the typical ways that you hear reps get stuck at that level?
Well, I hear it one of two ways, right? The first one is they're going in like gangbusters, and they're like, hi, is a mic available?
Yeah, exactly.
As if they've known Mike their whole life, right? And they've never met Mike a day before. The other thing that I'm often seeing people get stuck with there is they're giving up way too much information right out the gate. It's like word vomit. Hi, this is CC calling from Open B Labs. I'm calling today because of this, and this. And before they can even ask for the right person or know who they're calling, they have, you know, word vomited all over themselves, and they're already feeling stuck.
I think it's right. It is like word vomit, and it's filled with things of not only all the great things that they want to talk about and show and promote, but also with all the objectives. I'd like a meeting. I'd like to have counsel. I'd like to get more information, and it's overwhelming to the listener, and frankly, not very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about both of those things, and actually take like a half a step back. I'd argue there's two kinds of gatekeepers,
mm-hmm.
And I think it's first important to understand which you're working with. The first type of gatekeeper is a gatekeeper that would be basically hired as part of their job to quote-unquote gatekeep. And that would be your executive assistant. That could be assistants of a VRL coordinator or administrator. Those folks we want to work with. They are your friends. They can absolutely help us in sales. So that's good. The other kind of gatekeeper, that's the one who was not hired for the job, but they volunteered for it anyway. And that's the kind of like low-level individual contributor who says, all calls go through me, or send everything to me first. We know inherently how bad those people can be to choke off our access.
Totally.
And we don't want to engage with them. But let's take that first group. I think you nailed it, CC. The first error many people make is they jump into that call, usually like gangbusters, with this air of familiarity. Like, oh, hi, Beth, is Bob available? With this very light, airy, like, I know Bob really, really well. But the truth is, you don't know Bob, and Beth knows that. And if she doesn't know it, she's going to know it in about 30 seconds, and now all you've done is come off as a liar. So let's first start off with what we should probably kick off as an intro. My favorite intro when I talk to strangers for the first time, it's always been the same. It's usually like, hi, we've never met, or hi, I actually don't know Bob personally. Or actually don't know anyone at your company, but. And have that as the beginning, because what that does is it disarms the listener. You're not being, you know, gangbusters trying to steamroll over them, and you're being vulnerable, and you're being honest. They know you don't know anyone over there, so why not lead there? It's a good way to start.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think we often try and coach people, oh, build rapport with someone.
Yeah.
But rapport is, you know, we talked about this before, it is an outcome, it's not a goal.
That's it.
So it's something that just by being honest and saying, hey, I've never met you, kind of gives you a little bit of that advantage, and it starts to build rapport a little bit subconsciously. You're just being honest, and you're being yourself, and you're being vulnerable.
That's it. That's it. So once you kind of get that out of your way, hopefully you'll have a little friendlier ear on the other side of the phone, then you want to craft what you want to say in a very simple way. I would not launch into my elevator pitch at this point. We'll talk, I think, later, CC and other podcasts, about the use and the building of an elevator pitch. But here I don't think it's really worth it. These conversations are going to be, what, 30 to 60 to 90 seconds long. I would limit what I wanted to say to probably one or two sentences, but instead of saying why you think you can help this organization, I'd rather the rep says, hi, Beth, I actually don't know Bob personally, but I was on your website, and then say something that you think this prospect has in common with your customers. So instead of saying I can help you, you basically want to say, I don't know anything about you, but there's something on your website or something I read that makes me think you're similar to other people I work with. That's a great kind of next step to take so they understand some context.
No, I think that's a really good point. What happens, though, I think you say that sometimes and you think, okay, this is it. I'm gonna get through. And then they say, okay, that sounds good. Let me take your information and pass it along. What do you do then, Jeff?
Yeah, so one of the big things I want to do is, first of all, I want to make sure I get some kind of a close out of my mouth before I have a pause long enough where they can say that. Because we all know when they say, I'll take your information, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to have a nice, tight close. And generally the close I'll say is something like this. I'll usually want to get longer amounts of runway than the 30 seconds I thought I was going to get. So if that first element is that nice, soft introduction that says, I actually don't know you and I don't care, I'm calling you anyway. And then the next bit, which says something about how this customer might remind you of customers you've worked with in the past, then close for something like more runway. Like, do you have 3 minutes right now to help me? You'll find an incredible response to those kind of closes. So it might sound like this. Hi, Beth. I actually don't know Bob personally, but I was on your website and it looks like your company does XYZ, which is very similar to the companies that I work with here in Boston. Do you have 2 minutes right now to help me figure out who I should be talking to at your company? Now, here I like to use closed-ended questions. Other times when I cold call, I like to use open-ended. Here I like to use closed-ended questions because it establishes a tremendous amount of authority when you mm-hmm. use them. So even though I'm being very kind and admitting I don't know anyone and vulnerable, I'm also driving. And I'm saying, can you help me with this? I don't want to offer up any more information until she or he agrees to give me 2 or 3 minutes. Because without 2 or 3 minutes, I'm not just going to say things that lets her outbox me.
Right. I mean, I think that is such a strong line, even though people say, oh, help me, that sounds kind of weak.
Yeah.
That's strong.
Yeah.
You're saying, hey, listen, not only do I not know someone, I actually need help. And I think it keeps, especially the younger reps who look at these people like, oh, I can just steamroll right over them. They mean nothing.
Yeah.
You're giving them a little bit of power while still driving yourself.
That's right.
I think is huge.
It is huge. And they have the power anyway. So it's like they do control
right.
access. So why try to steamroll over them? They have it. I'd rather engage them directly. My thinking is I'd rather work with a live person on the phone than a senior executive's voicemail.
Exactly.
So I'll take this call over whoever I was going to call.
And these are the people that know the organization the best.
Of course.
They know the ins and outs. So if you're calling, I mean, typically when we're working with a portfolio company, this is a B2B offering. So you might have a service or a solution that is that might even affect the gatekeeper
That's right.
herself.
That's right.
Or himself. So it's important to kind of get them involved right on the onset. And I think this is a great way to do it.
Absolutely. So you have that quick question. Hopefully they engage. Maybe they don't. Maybe they ask for a little more information. Maybe they kind of brush you off. But if they answer the other question too, which is, what do you do when they say, well, just send us information, or they kind of stop the conversation quickly. One of my favorite techniques in sales is the callback, is when you hang up the phone, is to wait about 15 seconds and then call back saying that you screwed up and you forgot to ask a very important question. The reason why the callback is so effective is it's entirely disarming. And with gatekeepers, particularly those like EAs, receptionists, and those roles, statistically, they have two kinds of conversations. They have conversations with people they have once, and then they have conversations they have with people dozens of times. There's no, like, I've talked to them twice, I've talked to them three times. There's none of that. I have an assistant. I've had an assistant for 10 years. Most of the people that she talks to all day are people she talks to every day. Clients, prospects, vendors, partners. And then there's a small group of people that talk to her once, and that's the end of it. And that's usually where sales reps fall. Mm-hmm. So if you can break that paradigm, boy, is that powerful. So imagine if you were to say, hi, Beth. I actually don't know Bob personally, but I was on your site, and it looks like you guys have this in common. Do you have 2 minutes to help me figure out who to talk to next? And she says yes. And you say, well, great. Well, I understand that you do why. Which part of your organization is concerned with promoting your PR into international channels and international marketplaces? Well, that depends. It could be a variety of people. I would probably start with Joan. That's great. I appreciate that. What's her contact info? She gives it to you. Thank you. You hang up. Now wait 15 seconds. Call back. Hello, this is Beth. Can I help you? Hi, Beth. You were kind enough to help me about 15 seconds ago, and you'll hear this recognition in her voice. Yes, yes, what can I do for you? Yeah, you know, I totally spaced when I hung up the phone. I never asked you what Joan's responsible for in addition to that part of her role. You are going to get a ton of stuff because she was ready for you on call one. She's not so ready for you on call two. Mm-hmm. And you going back to the well so quickly shows such confidence that, hey, I screwed up. Notice I said that in the role play. I screwed up. But you're going to get far more. And now you have gone into a very small group of people that have talked to Beth twice as opposed to once. And I think it's – if you really want to build rapport, and it is a – I agree with you, CC. It is a result, not a goal. Well, this is how you do it.
This is great. I think, you know, for people, Jeff, that fall in the second camp of the word vomit situation, this is like a recipe. Write this down. I mean, this is something you can do. It's you go in, you say, we've never met, right?
Yeah.
Then you go into something about their corporation and how, or something that you found on their website, how it relates to you. And then you have a very specific close. Once you get that information and you're asking, I need help, you call back.
Yeah.
I mean, reps, write this down. Have this on a sticky right next to you. So every time you get a gatekeeper, it's not like you're fumbling for words or you're looking for the right thing to say. You can go right to your post-it and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do first.
That's great. The last thing I'll leave you guys with on this is that, you know, our instincts are often wrong. And what many of us do when we get someone live on the phone is that we tend to speak very quickly because we do that because we want to cram everything in this short window. But actually do the opposite. The easiest person to interrupt is the person who's talking really quickly. But it's virtually impossible to interrupt me if I'm speaking really, really, really slowly. And I would argue that's a great tactic to take with gatekeepers. If you've got three things you want to say, say one, take your time, hang up the phone, call them back, ask the second question. It's those stops and starts that are going to give the appearance of a longer, deeper relationship than you probably already have. And it's going to set you apart from the other 50 phone calls she's got to field today.
I think that's great. So thank you so much, Jeff, for talking gatekeepers with us. And we will see you next time on our next podcast of Strictly Sales with Jeff Hoffman.